Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Sabbath, everybody. Pray everybody has had a blessed evening and that you have been in the Word of the Most High and that you have, you know, examined yourself to make sure that you are living holy and clean before Him, that we have an understanding of what this term means now and that we can do it. You know, we can follow His statutes, His laws, and His commandments. On last night, as I said, I was... didn't know how I was going to approach, you know, these coming up lessons and whether it be by title or whether it would be subject matter or if we would cover, you know, an entire book and go book by book and pull the law out. And so it will probably be a little bit of both, a of those, you know, that procedure going forward. But I want to say, you know, on this morning that I am very humbled and I'm highly encouraged and emboldened on this morning. We have been live as a ministry for about 15 months, 16 months, even though the ministry is older than I started this, you know, before I went to New York, but I wasn't actively pursuing the ministry then. But we really started about 16 months ago. And, you know, it just amazes me how the Most High works. That, you know, in 15 or 16 months, we are now in 18 countries with consistent listeners in 18 countries. And though, you know, we don't have very many listeners in the U.S., the ministry is spreading and the word is going out and the Most High is doing what he said he would do. This will be a global ministry. And so I want to thank all those who support this ministry. And I want to encourage our listeners online in Canada, in Colombia, in England, in Finland, in France, in Ghana, in Germany, in Poland, South Korea, Japan, and in Russia, South Africa, the United Kingdom, and in the United States of America. We want to encourage you all in your walk and that you would continue your support in this ministry and that you would also spread the word of the Most High and spread this ministry, because the Most High said the true gospel of the kingdom must go out, and then the end would come, the end of this age. And so, you know, we hear of wars and rumors of wars and all these things. He says, but the end is not yet. He says the end is when the true gospel goes out, telling people to fear the Most High, to keep his statutes, his laws, and his commandments. I don't know when his return is, but we all know that it is imminent, that it is soon in his time. And we know every day that goes by, we are closer to the day that he returns. But we must be faithful and do those things that he has given us to do. So, you know, I'm encouraging each and every one of you, no matter what country you're in, and that you're listening to this ministry. I know that most of you are not calling in because you're listening online through the online stream, and that is all well and good. It is great. I would pray that you share it with family, with friends, with your enemies. You never know who the Most High is calling, okay? And we are looking for doers of the word, not just hearers, but doers of the word. We're looking for people who want to genuinely commit to the Most High and serve him the way that he says to serve him, no matter where we are at, no matter what country we are in. We want to be on this mission. So on this morning, we're going to talk about perilous times, but we also want to talk about that born-again experience, being born again. But, you know, because of the perilous times that we are in, it's imperative that we teach and show people how to be born again and what that means, okay, and so that they can come, because Most High said he would not have that any should be lost. It's not his desire that any should be lost. Of course, we know we're not going to save everyone, but the truth of the matter is, We have to preach and teach this gospel, and this ministry is dedicated to, you know, the milk of the word, getting people into the kingdom and teaching them how to live in the kingdom, how to reverence the Most High Elohim, and so that we can come before him in the spirit of truth, the way that he wants. So I, as I said, I am highly humbled because, you know, I hadn't really looked at it. But started looking at it, you know, and within, like I said, 15 months, we're in 18 countries. I am encouraged. And so, you know, we want to keep up the good fight and we want to do those things that the Most High has said to do. And as I said, I want to thank everyone who supports this ministry. and is dedicated to doing the will of the Most High. That being said, it is the Shabbat. Let us sound the shofar and usher in the presence of the Most High. This is His service, His meeting, His teachings. I am simply His servant. Cover your heads. Men, uncover your heads as we go before the Most High with our statement of faith. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am a child. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep His commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a handcuff of praise on this His day, the day He said we should honor Him and focus on Him and His word. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. All glory and praises to you, O Yah. 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000. Praises to you, my Father. Hallelujah. We just glorify you and lift you up on this morning, Father, and we thank you for being our Elohim, for giving us a mind to serve and worship you, the true and living Elohim, creator of the universe, seen and unseen, Father. We glorify you and bow down to you and to you alone. We give our praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and hallelujah. Glory to you, Father. Glory to you, glory. Glory, hallelujah, to you, Yah, our Elohim. Glory. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that we have done wickedly. And Father, we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony that this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you should call in Christ, that they would come and obey your voice and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Father, now as we go forth in the kingdom today, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that you do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray, amen and amen. Our scripture for this morning, I want to take us to the book of Acts for our scripture reading on this morning. And I want to read one verse or two verses. Because when the Most High released this gospel, the truth of the matter is, He's the Elohim of the entire world. And that's why this ministry is called Yah's Global Ministry. And we see that, you know, in 15 or 16 months, we are now in 18 countries. And Yah is doing a work. And his word is being fulfilled in what he showed me and told me. But we want to understand that, you know, he said, make this last call to Israel. But this is a global ministry, and it is to the entire world, and it's to Jew and Gentile alike. Salvation is to everyone. And so I want to read from Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35, as Peter came to understand that, you know, the Most High had to give him a vision and help him to understand, you know, I told you this before, and this is a change in the covenant. So we're dealing with the new covenant, and I want to point out all these things as we come across them. But on this morning, because we're going to be dealing with perilous times and being born again on this morning. Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that Elohim is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. He that fears him and works righteousness. This is who we are looking for. This is the seed of Abraham that fears him. Those that are called in Messiah and are willing to work righteousness. This is who we are, this ministry is to. This is who the Most High is looking for. This is who he is calling in the last days. This gospel must go out to that seed. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right, let us go ahead and jump into this precept. And we're going to be coming from the book of 1 Timothy and 1 Peter on this morning. And I believe I have time to deal with both of these. 1 Peter chapter 3. No, hold on a second. I'm sorry, I said 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to be dealing in 1 Peter. We'll come back to that. We're going to start off in 2 Timothy, the book of 2 Timothy. Starting in chapter 3. I also want to announce this month's new moon service, beginning of month service, is the 1st of January. So the 1st of January evening, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we will do the new moon service. We're not celebrating the Roman Greco New Year's. We're not doing a New Year's Eve party. I know a lot of churches get together and they do what they call a watch service on New Year's Eve to bring in to celebrate the Roman Greco New Year, but we don't actually celebrate the new year with the rest of the world. The new year for us this year is, and it changes. This is what I think even a lot of Hebrews had a problem understanding this, is that we are on a lunar cycle and not the solar cycle. The scriptures are based upon a lunar cycle and not solar. And so our day starts in the evening and our new months start with the new moon. So 1 January is not the start of a new month, normally, for us. But this year, the 1st of January is actually the first of the new month. So that is by coincidence. It's really the 2nd of January, but we will celebrate it the evening of 1 January, which will be the beginning of the 2nd of January, because our day starts in the evening and the morning. Is the way that we count our days. And so I also will be going through and calculating the feast days according to the new moon cycle for 2022, for Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles, and so forth. I will post that and send it out sometime next week. But I just wanted to let everybody know ahead of time, because it's not on the calendar, that we will be doing the new moon service for January. Will be the first of January, the evening of the 1st of January, which will be the beginning of the 2nd of January, according to our calendar and our time. So heads up to all the saints who participate in this. It has been a blessing for me when the Most High showed me, you know, we say we keep his feast days, but this new moon, the beginning of the month, is equivalent to the weekly Sabbath. And so he says that we are to honor him and we're to meet him in the new moon. And all the nations, if you go to Isaiah 66, all the nations, when he reestablishes kingdom on the earth, every Sabbath and every new moon, they will be required to come to Jerusalem. And so this is, you know, this is another one of the days that the camps, the church definitely doesn't observe this, but even the camps, most of the Hebrew camps, don't observe this time. But the Most High has commanded that we keep it. So when I saw it in the scriptures, you know, we want to be obedient, and we've been doing it now over a year. Thank Yah, and it has been good for me. Okay. All right. So that's going to be the evening of the 1st of January. We won't be celebrating, that is a Sabbath, and New Year's Eve is actually a Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath. And so we will have our normal Sabbath lessons and what have you. But we will not be doing like a special service, because it's the new year, to bring in the new year. It's not our new year. Okay? So just want everybody to know. But the Sabbath lessons and the new moon is a special service, but it's to bring in the new month so that we have understanding. All right, the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. When you look at the news, you don't hear, you know, the news is, they're not really focused on really reporting anything positive anyway. But the truth of the matter is, there's not a whole lot of positive to report. There's some positive things going on in the world, but for the vast majority of it, it is nation against nation. It is this nation threatening that nation. It is brother killing brother. It is murder and rape. It is genocide. It's natural disasters. And so we are told that these things would increase, and we're not really focusing on the events because Messiah told us he gave us a schedule of events. He gave us a schedule of events. I believe it's Matthew's. Let me get this because we're going to read this too so that we understand. I don't really want to focus on the events themselves, but I want to focus on men, human nature this morning. Because, see, we're told don't worry about wars and rumors of wars. We're told don't worry about earthquakes in diverse places. That these are signs, but don't worry about them. They're going to be, these things are going to happen. But what we are to be focused on is getting this gospel out. So before we end today, we'll read that so that we, you know, understand that you know, we're looking at those things and we feel it in our spirit that these are the last days. But he said the end would not come until the true gospel was preached. The gospel of the kingdom. You know, how do you, you know, that is the gospel, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That is the gospel. Everything else is how to enter into the kingdom and how to live in the kingdom. But the gospel, the good news is that the kingdom of heaven is available to us again, as it was in the beginning. And so we have to know that this true gospel has to be preached. And then people have to enter into it and live according to the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. He says, and then the end would come. So we'll read that a little bit later. But right now, we want to look at these perilous times because this is about the nature of man and how men, the saints, would be acting. You know, you go into a church, you go into a camp, you go into a religious center, and people are just that religious. And, you know, some are trying to be good. Some are trying to do good. Some are just pretending. You know, they want to be part of a group. But the truth of the matter is, the Most High is looking for those people who fear him and will keep his commandments. That's who he's looking for. The obedient ones. It says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And when we look around, it's all, they're being taught this. Self-gratification. How to please yourself. To get the things that make you happy. This is the nature of the world, at least in the U.S. This is the nature of the world. And it's saying, so men will be lovers of their own selves. They don't really have true affection for other people. They don't really care about what happens to other people. It's, you know, I'm trying to get mine. And you get yours. And if you can't get yours, and, you know, in the U.S., you're taught that, hey, through capitalism, if I take yours from you, if you're not smart enough, then, you know, I can take yours from you through greed. I can steal it from you, be covetous. So this capitalistic system, in and of itself, teaches these behaviors. You know, I put on, I can falsely advertise. I can, you know, it's all in the way that it's worded. May it not be true or totally true, but it's not totally false. But that's what Satan does. Satan changes one word to make something appear that it's not, you know, that is righteous. But that one word or that one phrase makes it untrue, and it's to deceive you. And so these practices are common within our society and are in common really around the world. You know, when people, especially when the focus is on getting wealth, you know, we all, you know, the world is coming to the system that is being spread around the world. They say it's democracy, but it's not really democracy. China is not a democracy, but they are becoming capitalistic. Russia is not a democracy, but they are becoming capitalistic. So they learned, you know, and even in communism, communalism, where they were supposed to be starting out, you know, being for the well-being of all their citizens, they found out that because of the way men are and because of the motivation of men, and because they're not, it's not really centered on the system that God put in place. It's centered on a system that man made, that they couldn't motivate the people to produce. If what I'm going to do is going to just go to everybody, then, you know, I'm just going to do the bare minimum. Because they see other people in their society living in luscious luxury homes, driving, you know, Mercedes-Benz and things like that. And then they got the poor who are suffering and lacking. But everybody's supposed to have everything equal. So their system, they can only keep their system in place through force. That's not what the Most High ever wanted. And so they are quickly becoming, they say, hey, if we want to motivate people, then people want to work for and keep what they get. They want to work for it and keep, you know, what they have earned and spend it on what they want to spend it on. And that's what's been the motivation behind the U.S. and what caused the U.S. to explode and become a global power, but at the expense of people, at the expense of spiritual values. So people become self-indulged. Now, when you grow up in this type of environment where you talk, go to school, get a good job, and then you can get all these things for yourself. You can have that big house. You know, you look at the music videos. They want to flash, you know, this guy with, especially, you know, on black videos, but it doesn't really matter because the world emulates the black man. They don't want to be him. But they do emulate him, and we are tricked into, you know, what's the word I'm looking for here? Not projecting, but showing ourselves to be one thing, and we have become that thing so that, you know, we portray our women as being loose. We portray our men as being drug dealers, you know, and if you do this, if you get this money this way, you know, this fast life, then, you know, if it's through drugs or through crime, then you can have these things. But it's not by, you know, they're not really, that's the image that they're pushing on us, that they push of us. But then the world looks at that and the youth of the world try to emulate that. You know, they didn't ever think that rap music would be that big, that it would be that influential. But everything is by design to make you be a lover of yourself, to make you want to be self-indulgent and to covet what somebody else has. Oh, they got the big cars. They got the big mansion. This brother got all the women. He got the money. He's partying all the time. This lifestyle that they are projecting that influences the young people, influences a lot of the old people. Teaches them to be covetous, teaches them to be boasters of, yeah, I got this money, boasters of themselves. but boasting what values? Now, this is why this is becoming global. It has become global. You can go and find, you know, this lifestyle what have you all over the world. But it's not just coming out of rap. I'm using that as an example. But it's this love of money, if I work hard and do what's required of the world, then I can have the things of the world. And then I'm supposed to, you know, brag on this. Be proud of it. But then it also requires me to blaspheme or make the word of the Most High evil. Because now fornication and adultery and worshiping of any type of spiritual, quote-unquote spiritual being, is accepted. Whatever you want to worship, whatever you want to do. You know, who's your higher power? If you are, you know, if you're an alcoholic and you've gone through the 12-step program, then you're supposed to reach out and get in contact with your higher power. But your higher power is whatever you say it is and whoever you say it is. Blasphemous. And so people are, you know, encouraged to worship any and everything. Now, you know, this isn't all over the world, because they have countries where you can't worship whatever you want to worship or whoever you want to worship. But those citizens try to leave those countries because they say, oh, they're oppressive. They are, you know, they stifle us. And we are living in third world conditions, except for where they got oil. Then they got those conditions and they're rich. But you rarely hear of the women from those countries that are rich complaining. But it's usually from those countries where they are poor. And so they are stifling people. But they, you know, for the most part, people are becoming more and more blasphemers. They are, the morality of the world is... do what pleases you. People want to leave where they're at and come to the United States because they want this lifestyle. It's not really freedom that they're after. It's the lifestyle. I can have the big house. I can have the big home. I can have the big yard. I can have the expensive car. I can eat in the fancy restaurants. All this is what they're coming for. And so, you know, the government is telling us they know best how to what? Raise our children. The scriptures say, spare the rod and spoil the child. If your child won't listen to reason, if they are being disobedient, then the scriptures say, hey, you're to discipline them. But then they will teach you that, oh, no. You can't use any type of corporal punishment on your child. You can't paddle them. You can't beat them with a belt. You know, when I was younger, it was a switch. Go out there on that tree, boy, and get me that switch. Or my mother used an extension cord. Now, that one, you know, there's things that I don't agree with either. And I guess that's why the government sort of stepped in, because some people were becoming abusive. But the thing is, the Most High says that you have to discipline your children. It's to correct their behavior. Punishment is different. But to discipline them was to correct their behavior. And if they can't hear you with the two ears that are on their head, then you are supposed to open up the ears that are on their behind. Okay. People are becoming more and more unthankful. You know, you look at your own children and what you do for them. They expect that you do it for them, but they're really not thankful. And they bring that mentality into society. You know, if if the government really didn't have programs to take care of people and people fall on hard times, you get sick, you can't go to work. You know, if we were to put this back at its base, at the base, if there were no social programs and you got sick and you couldn't work and there was no program to help you, then you would pretty much just be left in the street. Now this, you know, if you go back into the Middle Ages and things like that, you will find these conditions, and man has tried to work his way out of those things by providing social programs for the well-being of its citizens. But we still know that it's not perfect. And I'm not speaking against those programs, but what I am speaking to is people's attitude toward it. Because they will come to expect that, hey, this, the government's supposed to do this. And they're unthankful. This is, you know, this is my right. This is my privilege. Let the system fail. Let the economy get too bad and they can't support these things. Then all of a sudden, something happened to you. You're on your own. And you're at the mercy of society. And if everybody is lovers of themselves, hey, you sick, that's your problem. You can't get any food, hey, I feel sorry for you, but, you know, they'll even go as far as say, oh, you must have done something wrong. The Christian will say that to you. You must have done something wrong. The Most High is coming against you. Unthankful for what the Most High provides, unthankful for what the government gives, unthankful to brothers and sisters who care enough to do something for them. And so, you know, like I said, with your own children, you provide for them, that they should understand that you're going to get old and that, you know, you spent the first part of their lives taking care of them. Trying to give them what? The best life you could give them. Give them a head start. And they'll turn around and be like, you know, you're old and you're feeble and you can't take care of yourself. You know, if they can afford it, I'm going to put you in a home. But no, you can't come live with me. I got my own family now. And, you know, you're going to be a burden on us. And nobody wants to be a burden on their children. But it shouldn't be a burden. It should just be something that they are willing to do because they're going to get old. And everybody don't get rich. And everybody's not able to take care of themselves. And if you're looking for Social Security to do it, most of the time Social Security don't pay enough to live on. And people don't plan for retirement that well. They says they're going to also be what? Unholy. Unclean. This is the way, going to be the natural way of people. And we know that this portion of it, because it's not being taught correctly. Now, these are things that we're finding in the church, in the body of Messiah. That's what the kicker is. We're talking about the world, but we're really talking about the body of Messiah. In the condition that it's in. People who say that they are saints, they're going right along with the world. And what the world says, hey, you just sanitize this thing and you're good to go. Yeah, I might not get sick from that. But the Most High says, because I touched it, I am unclean to him. And so I need to go wash, and I'm unclean until the evening. Because he has defined these things. So the people are going to be this way in the last days. And it's just going to be a way of life without natural affection. That means being hard-hearted towards your kindred. You got brothers and sisters that grow up in the same house that hate one another. They're not in the Word. You know, they some of them will say that they're Christians. But they have no relationship. Mad about something that happened when they were children. Have held on to these hurt feelings that, you know, perceive that you offended me. And then will come against their own kindred, will do things to hurt their own kindred without natural affection. Truth breakers. We got together, we talked, and we came to a decision that we're going to treat each other this way, and we're going to be civil with each other, and then one of us breaks the truce. One of us lied. Or both of us lied. And both of us broke it. But also truth breakers with the Most High. Because that's what he did. He says, I'm giving you a chance to come back to me. And to walk in my ways. And to keep my statutes, my laws, and my commandments. To enter into this covenant. And enter into this truce. I'm no longer going to be after you. I'm going to be looking out for your good. But then we don't keep our part of the bargain. We break the truce with him. He calls it in another way, covenant breakers. And this is the way that this world is right now. Has been that way for a minute. And it has gone, you know, it's ebbed and flowed. But in the last days, it's going to be at its worst. Can be spread so globally that, you know, people, this is just the way life is. And people are going to be going about their lives and, you know, getting married and having children and getting jobs and just becoming more and more and more morally depraved, spiritually depraved, and becoming desensitized. Because, you know, the more you go through something, if you never saw something killed, like let's say you didn't grow up on a farm and you never saw a chicken killed, never saw something lose its life, for real. It was alive and then you killed it. Not like a bug, you know, because we sort of don't think about if we kill a bug or something like that. But something that I'll use this example. People have pets. And those pets become part of their lives. And when that pet is put down, for a lot of people, it's just as traumatic as if it was a child that died. Okay? It just don't know how to handle it. Without natural affection. False accusers. It's nothing for a person to tell a lie today. For governments to tell lies to each other. To accuse one another. To set somebody up. We live in a judicial system that don't really care if you are guilty or not. If they charge you with something and you're not able to prove your innocence, even though you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty, if the preponderance of the circumstantial evidence stacks up against you, they say, well, you know, we're not 100% sure, but we got enough evidence here to put you away. And in some cases, they set you up. Depending upon who you are, what race you are. Justice is not the same for everyone. You got people that come into court, you know, whether it can be husband and wife, and they want the best outcome for themselves. So, you know, they'll mix truth with a lie. They'll mix truth with fabrication. They'll mix truth with exaggeration to get what they want. But the Most High says when we go through the scriptures, he says, We're to be perfect in these things. We are to tell the truth all the time, even when it hurts. Tell the truth. Don't falsely accuse someone. Totally, just totally false. You know, hey, I'm just going to make up a lie on you. Because people do that. I want to hurt you. I want to see you lose something. Jealous because you got this and they don't have it. And they can see a way to make you lose it. They can't get it, but they can see a way to make you lose it. Got all kind of different spirits behind this. But people being false accusers, just, I'm going to say something that's not true and be content in saying it. Incontinent. Let's look at the meaning of this word. Incontinent. That is the Greek word akrates, A-K-R-A-T-E-S. It's a negative power symbol, powerless, without self-control. In other words, people can't control themselves. They go about doing things, they get, you know, it's just like a drug addict, being out of control. Got to break into people's houses to get their fix. Not able to control their desires. Don't really care. If this is what I want, I'm going to do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. If that means hurting you, if it means stepping on your neck to get what I want, if it means seeing you go without. Out of control. Fierce. That is, you know, to be in these conditions and be fierce about it, to have a strong compassion for it, to do evil. You're not getting over on me. I'm gonna get over on you, and I'm gonna do whatever I need to do to get over. I'm going to do whatever I need to do to get the better of you. And just have a strong compassion, be fierce about it. Now, here's the kicker, because if you're trying to do good, if you're really trying to do good, and you know you've heard people say, oh, you think you holier than thou. You think that you all that. You being, you know, overly righteous. It depends upon how a person is going about doing that. Yeah, sometimes they may need to be brought down a level. But you shouldn't be despisers of them, especially if they're doing good. Despisers of those that are good. That are good. Evil people don't like good people. You trying to do good and right, and they want to talk bad about you. They want to backbite on you. They want to stab you in the back. They want to talk negative about you. You feed the homeless. You take care of the widows. And you're doing it from a, you know, with compassion. You're going out and looking for those people who are in need. And then your friends saying, oh, they're a do-gooder. And Mr. Goody-Goody. You know. I had some friends, supposed to have been friends, that wanted to invite me out to a party. I said, now, number one, since when have you ever known me to go to a party? But, okay, where at? They want to invite me to a strip club. I'm like, really? It's so-and-so's birthday party. I don't care what it is. I ain't going there. Not that I would attend a party. I'm not that type of person. Because people get drunk at parties. They say things they ought not say. They do things. You know, they're all up on you. And I'm not trying to go there and be that. I'm not trying to just fall in the sack with somebody behind some alcohol. Or because she, oh, man, she's kicking. Look at her in that dress. Not trying to be that one. But I'm definitely not trying to go to no strip club. You know, so it amazes me that people will know things about you and still try to corrupt you. And I know the only reason they're inviting me because they know I don't do those things because, oh, you all you do is do good. We don't see you drinking. We don't see you smoking. We don't see you out here partying. We don't see you chasing. But you need to come out and live. No, I don't, that's not living. That's dying. I know what the truth is. I believe the Most High. Traitors, know that what you're about and will still try to corrupt you. Still try to, they'll turn against you. This will be your family, friends, workers. They think you get a promotion that they don't think you deserve. Well, I know this. And did you, you know, just be a traitor. Heady. This word in the Greek. Let's get this definition. We are in verse 4. Heady. This word in the Greek is propetes. Propetes. Hedis, yeah. Proetes. Yeah, proetes, sorry. Compound from the Strong's G4253 and G4098. Falling forward, headlong. Figuratively, precipitate, heady, rashly. That means that you're just, you got direction, but you have no control of it. You're just doing something. And people are just doing things. They really don't have a mission or a plan except for to get, you know, as much as they can, however they can. High-minded. Puffed up. You know, if they achieve a little bit of something, then that goes along with being boastful. And this is the character. This is in the church. This is in the body. Because this is the way of the world. And if we don't convert, if we don't go through a conversion, we bring these things into the body. And people say, oh, it's okay. And the pastor don't teach against them because, you know, yeah, you're making $100,000 a year. I want that money. But if they are godly people, they're going to be paying their tithes anyway, no matter what. Whatever they're doing, they're going to do the right thing before the Most High. So the pastor don't even need to be that way. But when, you know, they even puff them up, I guess the truth of the matter is when we are not about the kingdom of the Most High, if it's not the most important things, then we celebrate those worldly things. And, you know, some worldly things are worthy of being worthy of being celebrated. But then we have to also understand and leave them where they are at. They are worldly. The kingdom should come first. But we might become high-minded. We might get a position that we're elevated in, and we went from five figures to six figures or six and a half figures, and, you know, we are... have this high opinion of ourselves. And we think that this is what makes us and defines us. It's an achievement, and man is rewarding you for whatever, but the truth of the matter is, it's not the most important thing, and it shouldn't become what defines us. But we shouldn't become high-minded about it. This is the spirit, this last part of this verse, is the spirit that's over this country. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of Elohim. We're taught that. It's advertised. You know, you want the best car. It's supposed to, you know, the way they sell it, look at everything, how it's sold. It brings you some type of pleasure. But see, all addictions are rooted in pleasure. The drug addict takes the drug because it makes them feel good while they're high. The alcoholic drinks alcohol because it makes them feel good a certain way while they are drunk. The person who is addicted to making money, they are addicted to it because it makes them feel good. And it gives them some type of pleasure, even to take someone's money. Oh, yeah, I outdid them on this deal. And I got the better of them. I came out on top on this one. But it's all rooted in pleasure. And then so we will let those pleasures dictate our life and be contrary to the word of the Most High. Love those pleasures more than we love the Most High. Love those pleasures more than we fear the Most High. You know, there are a lot of people who have gotten into positions, and they got into those positions because they were willing to do something that wasn't quite maybe morally right. You know, we always accuse a woman of sleeping with a man to achieve a certain position. That, you know, in the movies, they call it the casting couch. You want this acting role? Let me see what you can do on the couch. And so they would just, you know, whatever that man wanted, if that woman wanted that role, or that boy, that man, wanted that role, it wasn't always about their abilities. This person found them desirable, and, you know, maybe they would have fit in the role, but what are you willing to do for it? That's what that casting couch was all about. And so you see that, you know, it's not supposed to happen in business, but it happens. And a lot of, you know, especially, you know, I say men to women, because most in the previous ages, men have been in control. And they've been, you know, the ones that had the hiring and firing decisions. And they would use that power to take advantage. Oh, you want a raise? You want more money? Then they will, you know, make the woman actually prostitute herself. But it wasn't always women. Because, you know, you got gay men as well. And you got men that are on the down low. They're going both ways. Just all dependent upon what they wanted. But it was all about that pleasure. And they would use that, and knowing that what they were doing was wrong. And then if you are a godly person and you are taking these values, you say you're a godly person, but you're taking these values to work with you as a man or a woman, because, you know, I've met when I was first got out of the military and I went into corporate. I went to work for a financial institution, real estate company. And, you know, they were all millionaires, or maybe not all of them. Vast majority of them were millionaires. And, you know, they had these A-type personalities. And, you know, they would close a deal. Their part of the deal would be $6 million, $7 million. That would be their commission. And this one young lady came up to me and said, you know, she had just closed the deal. She said, oh, you know, I want to celebrate. I should have you for lunch. I said, oh, no, you're not having me for lunch. I said, I don't roll that way. She just looked at me because, you know, she expected me. It wasn't that she was an ugly woman or anything like that. But I wasn't in the world like that. And, you know, had she met me maybe 10 years earlier or 20 years earlier from that time, it might have been on. I might have been, oh, yeah, let's go. Because that would have been my nature at that time. But, yeah. And so, you know, I had to tell her, no, can't have me for lunch. That ain't happening. Just want to celebrate and look for some type of pleasure to celebrate. But I would have been offending to the Most High. And there was a time in my life that, yeah, I was in the Word. Having a form of godliness. Know the Word. Know right from wrong. Have power and authority. but denying where they get that power and authority from, where they get that blessing from. Now, these are people who say that they are Christians. He says, from such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I see so many saints this way. So many people who read the scriptures. And I know that, you know, in a certain portion of them, the scripture says it's not even given to them to understand. Messiah, disciples ask, hey, why do you speak to them in parables? Because it's not given to them to understand. That hearing they might hear and not understand, and seeing they might see and not perceive, understand what they're seeing, who they're seeing. It still goes on today. Ever learning. I know people who read these scriptures all the time, and I'm wondering, I'm like, why is it that you can't see X? Or why is it that you're not able to see Y? Why is it that you read, but you don't never learn? And you never put into practice what you're reading. The truth of the matter is they're not learning. They're not able to come into the knowledge of the truth. Because they're coming from corrupt minds. They're coming from worldly minds. And you cannot read the scripture with a worldly mind. The carnal mind. You can read it, but you will come to a carnal understanding. And you will miss out on what the Most High is really saying. And what he wants. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I know people that can quote scripture backwards and forwards and still do not understand salvation. Still do not understand how to walk a godly life, because for them it's just a book. They don't really believe in the Most High the way that the book says to believe him. They don't fear him the way the book says to fear him. They got all the facts, but they can't line the facts up in the correct order to come to the truth. So you can have the facts. This is what the news, you know, your local news, if you go to their website or if you look at I forget what they call it. It's not a mission statement, but like their marching orders. They are required to report the facts. They tell you, we report the facts, but we don't have to tell you the truth. You have to come to the truth on your own. So if I tell you the facts and I give you the facts out of order, you got the facts, but you may not necessarily have the truth. This is what a lot of people in the scriptures find themselves at. They know scripture, they read it. They have the facts, but don't necessarily have the truth. And that's why we have all these different denominations of Christianity alone. Ever learning. And never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. These are saints, or supposed to be saints. But he says, if you find a saint in this condition, what are you to do? Turn away from them. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, and you have to go back and get that story, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, that's the problem right there. That's what's going to exacerbate these perilous times, and that's what makes these times so perilous. You don't know what they will do. You don't know what they will say. You don't know how they're going to react to anything because they got corrupt minds. They believe that they are in the truth. They believe that what they know is fact. They believe that what their understanding is truth. That is sound, but they are discerning from a corrupt mind. Anybody that's a computer programmer understands this philosophy. Garbage in, garbage out. Whatever you put in, if the program is corrupt, you could put good data into a program and you get corrupt facts. If the program is corrupt, you can put good scripture into a corrupt mind and you're going to get a corrupt understanding. The scripture is good. It's the understanding coming out the corrupt mind that's the problem. So we're going to find this more and more in the last days. Reprobate concerning the faith. Let's look up this word reprobate. Reprobate. Ad okimos. From G1, a negative participle, G1384 in the Strong's, unapproved, rejected, by implication worthless, cast away, reprobate concerning the faith. They are rejected concerning the faith. They have no faith. They can say that they believe, but they don't actually, your faith, what you believe is what you really actually act upon. So if you tell me that you believe something, if I say, you know, sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so, your house is on fire. If you believe me, if you have faith in what I'm saying, you're going to go check your house. If you don't believe what I'm saying, then you'll be like, yeah, right. You ain't going to act on it. These people read the scriptures. They study them, but they have corrupt minds and they are reprobate. And they will interpret the scriptures to bring about whatever outcome they want, what makes them feel comfortable, not what the Most High says. This is the mindset in the last days. This is the mindset that we're up against today. And if we look around us, we see it everywhere. You can be trying to do good and somebody will go on Facebook just to trash you. Tell all kind of lies about you to try to tarnish your reputation. Reprobate. Say that they're your brother. 1 minute they say they love you, come to a disagreement and see how they treat you. Reprobate concerning the faith. This is the times that we're in. This is why it's so hard to find true believers. This is why you have to be watchful. Because people will be saying and teaching all kinds of things, and it sounds good. Some of it, a lot of it sounds good. But they are reprobate in their faith, they are corrupt in their minds, and they're reading the scriptures from that standpoint. You got a lot of pastors in that place, a lot of ministers in that place that came into, oh yes, I want to be close to the Most High, I want to be close to God, I want to be close to the Lord. They never converted. They never were born again. They never got saved. Not really. Still running around doing all the same things. One way in your face, another way in private. Teaching like the Pharisees, teaching the law, but not doers of the law. Telling you, you got to do it, but they don't do it. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. So he says, these people that do these things are going to be revealed about them. You know, what amazes me is we will know people that are this way and still want to deal with them. Still want to fellowship with them. You know, it says if a brother is taken in a fault, then we are to restore them. But we're to restore them if they're truly repentant. If they understand that what they're doing was wrong. If they have godly sorrow about it. And so we find this mentality within the church walls, within the body. And we have to be careful because James, Jannes, and Jambres, these were Hebrew Israelite brothers, and they came up against Moses. And the Most High had to show them, hey, you done came up against the wrong one. And you coming up against them with corrupt minds. And you resisting the truth. Because you think you know. And you got your own opinion. So we find this in the body as well. Because these men hadn't truly been converted. They still had the Egyptian mindset. We want to go back to the likes and the onions and the flesh pots. You'd have brought us out here to the wilderness to die. Weren't fully committed to the mission. Even though they saw the Most High split the Red Sea, even though they saw the plagues come on Egypt, their heart was still in Egypt. Even though they knew, we don't want to be here, we would rather be with the Most High, but their heart was still back there. So it caused them, their thinking to be corrupt, and they would come again. They came against Moses. We're going to run into the same thing. I don't expect not to run into that. Matter of fact, I've already run into it. But the truth of the matter is, I got to know where my foundation is at. I got to know where I got to stand at. I got to know what I have to continue to teach. Even when men don't want to get behind it, it's okay. I have to do what the Most High tells me to do. Sometimes the truth hurts. Even when it hits me, and trust me, when it hits me, it hurts just as much as if it hit somebody else. But I have to repent. Can't be of a reprobate mind. Can't say I believe this book and then don't do what's said in the book when I can't get the understanding. So he says, they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall manifest unto all men, as also as theirs also was. So when we see these people in the body, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, and long-suffering, charity, and patience, persecution, affliction, which came unto me at Antioch. Now, if you ever read, you know, Paul's life, yeah, he went through some stuff. But when he was first called, Messiah says, you're going to suffer for the gospel. You are running around here killing the saints, imprisoning them, afflicting them, and thinking that you're doing a good. But you're not. You think you're doing the right thing. But you're not. Because so I'm selecting you as an apostle, and I'm converting you as an apostle, but because of what you've done, you're going to suffer. And Paul suffers greatly. But he's told us from the very beginning. You're going to do this job and you're going to suffer with it. You're going to go through the same things you put the saints through. The saints ain't going to trust you. And the Jews going to think you a traitor. But you still got to do this job. Persecutions and afflictions which came upon me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord or Yah delivered me from. Yea, all that will live godly in Yeshua HaMashiach shall suffer persecution. So you shouldn't be looking for, you know, that you're going to be on a cakewalk. If you're telling the truth, if you're trying to live the truth, trust me, the world don't want to hear the truth. The saints don't want to hear the truth. When Messiah came to, as I said, I'm going to say it again, when Messiah came to Israel, some of the people accepted him. Not everybody accepted him. And so if you think that, you know, you're supposed to be, if you're telling the truth that the world is something that everybody in the world is going to want to hear, then you are deceived because they don't want to hear it. And if you think that everybody in the church, the saints want to hear it, they don't want to hear it either. Because most people are in this thing because it's a social club. And they just happen to believe that, we want to serve the Most High, but we want to serve him the way we want to serve him. We want to worship him the way we want to worship him. We still, you know, want to be in the world and come here on Sunday or on Wednesday Bible study night or whatever. But this is a way of life, and as a citizen in the kingdom, then it has to be real for you. And you have to strive to be holy. You have to strive to be perfect in the eyes of the Most High, because this is what he commands. Verse 12. Yea, all that will live godly in Yeshua HaMashiach shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. This is how they live. They deceive, and at the same time, their world is a world of deception, so they're deceiving and being deceived. They don't really know what the truth is. They've been lying and doing unrighteousness for so long, it's just a way of life, and they don't really know what the truth is anymore. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Yeshua HaMashiach. You must believe the scriptures. You must study to show yourself approved. You must walk in, as you learn, you must walk in what you learn. Each and every person. All scripture. Got to believe this, because a lot of people don't believe this. I've heard too many people say concerning certain scripture, oh, a man wrote that. Oh, that's somebody's interpretation. Well, brother, that's what you believe. You hear all kinds of things. You can read it to them black and white, word for word. You don't even need an interpretation. And somehow, it's got this mystical meaning. Yeah, there are some hidden things in Scripture, but everything is not hidden. But to them, it is. Because the mind that they're reading the Scripture from, the Bible tells us, we just read, their mind is corrupt. They are reprobate. all scripture is by all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim. And it's profitable for doctrine. This is why this is part of our statement of faith, because this is something you must believe. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. You want to know how to be right with God, with the Most High? You want to know how to correct your behavior? You want to know what you should be believing? Then you got to believe all the scriptures. Literally, and where the scripture has a deeper meaning, then the Spirit of the Most High will lead you to that meaning. But you got to believe it, that is true. Just like you got to believe that he exists, that the Most High is real and that he exists, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You gotta do this thing with expectation. I expect that what I'm reading is true and what it says is going to happen. You know, I don't think that I would have ever really been filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, if I didn't believe and expect that what the scripture says or in the scriptures is going to happen to me. Matter of fact, I went to the Most High and said, I want to have the same experience that they had. So that I know, that I know, that I know. Why? Because I read it, and this is what's happened, and I want the same experience. So there's no doubt in my mind, so that I don't believe that this happened to me, but that I know that it happened to me. Got to have that mindset. Got to believe this thing. Got to walk in. Got to know that the scriptures are good for your instruction, to make you righteous. Righteous in whose eyes? In the eyes of the Most High. That the man of Elohim may be perfect. This man is mankind. That the man, the woman, the person of Elohim may be perfect through what? Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Want to know what's good? What the Most High says is good. What he says is good is good. Not what man says. But what the Most High says. And if you read the scriptures and you can't come to an understanding, then go to him. Take it to him in prayer. Take it to him in prayer. Okay, I want to go, what time is it? We got 10:28. I want to go to the book of, I believe it's 1 Peter. Give me a hot second, make sure this is where I want to go. Yeah, let's go to 1 Peter. We're going to read this whole chapter. Got 30 minutes to do it. I won't expound on everything. A lot of these things have previously been covered, but that the man of Elohim may be perfect in these perilous times when you're meeting people and they are misrepresenting themselves and they are trying to be something that, you know, they're trying to bring the world into the body. They're trying to come into the body with a carnal mind and then read the scriptures from a carnal mind. And that carnal mind won't let them subject themselves to the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. And so then they want to fit in. And so they will start interpreting the scriptures from that mindset. But it says that their mind is corrupt. So the mind is the program that they are processing the scriptures through. And as I said, you can put good scripture in, But if the spirit and the mind are corrupt, you're going to get garbage out. 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Yeshua HaMashiach, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of Elohim the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach, grace be unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the Elohim and Father of our Master, Yeshua HaMashiach, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope. You are supposed to be begotten. That word begotten means to be fathered. You're supposed to be begotten by the Spirit of the Most High, who has begotten us again unto lively hope by the resurrection of Yeshua HaMashiach from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, when we truly come to Messiah, this promise is sure. But you got to do what he said. You got to stay in the covenant. You can't be a truth breaker. You can't be a covenant breaker. Because see, this is one of the fallacies of the church. We say we belong to a covenant, but then, like I said, when I ask most of them what's in the covenant, I have yet to have two people to really tell me what's in the new covenant. And they'll give me some of the laws that they find in the New Testament. And even when they go to read the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, I believe, of the promise of the new covenant, somehow I will write my laws, my commandments in your heart. That never registers. It's like, oh no, we're not up under the law. So that doesn't register. Because you can't have it both ways. We're not up under a law, but I'm going to write my laws in your heart. Which one is it? So they have a complete, it's really reprobation. It's corrupting of the scriptures. It's like reading half of a story and then saying, you have the full story, so you're able to tell me about the story. You're able to give me facts and details and tell me what the motivation of this person was in that story and what the storyline is all about, but you only read half the book. That doesn't work. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of Elohim through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. If need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. We kind of read this last night. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perishes. How are you tried? Through trials and tribulations. If you are walking this walk and you're not being tried, he says, Most High says, are you really my child? Because whom I love, I chastise. And I send trials to you. I send tests to you. Therefore, you're perfecting. Being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Mashiach, Yeshua HaMashiach, whom having not seen, none of us have ever seen him in the person you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now, these words are true to the faithful. These words are true to those who obey his commandments. These words are true to those who are not truth breakers with him. These words are true for those who don't break his covenants. These words are true for anybody who don't willfully sin. The minute we do any of those things, the promises become of null effect. The promises are still the promises are still there, and they're in effect for those people who are doing what he said to do. But when we don't do what he says to do, that's why he says, I don't like covenant breakers. I don't like truth breakers. I don't like people who don't keep their word. You came to me and said you repented of this stuff, and here you are, you're doing it again. You're still doing it. Oh, but I'm weak. That weak would cost you, that'll cost you your life. That'll cost you your salvation. That'll cause you to be brought before me and killed. So if you are keeping his covenants, you're not breaking the truth that he's established between us and him. You are keeping his statutes, his laws, his commandments. You have accepted Messiah. You have been baptized in his name. You have received the Ruach HaKodesh. And it's not, you know, it's a gift. And it's given by the Most High freely for those he chooses. But you have to have had that. You have to have truly been repentant before him. It's not you might have to do this. Messiah said you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. You must. One half of it don't get it. Have to be in the faith. And then you will receive the end of your faith. All the promises, even the salvation of your soul. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. How do we enter back into the kingdom? Who prophesies of grace that should come unto you? Searching what? And what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Mashiach, which was in them, did signify. All the prophets, the Most High is telling them about his salvation, telling them about what he's going to do for mankind. I'm going to save you. How? When? They wanted to know. Even the angels wanted to know. The Most High is going to do a work. But he wasn't giving them all the details. But the Spirit of Christ that was in them, what spirit, if you go back into the Old Testament, what spirit was in the prophets? It was the Spirit of the Most High. They are synonymous. They are one and the same. The Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of the Most High are one in the same. Just by one Spirit are you baptized into one body. So if Messiah, if Yeshua and the Father were a different spirit, then you would have to be baptized into multiple spirits. He says, but by one spirit. It's not one thought. This is an actual spirit. Elohim is a spirit. And he don't have two or three heads. He got one head. He just said, I'm doing all of this. So when I'm the creator, I'm the creator. I made everything. I fathered you all. And I'm going to come as the Son of Redemption. I'm doing it all. And the spirit that is within the Messiah is my spirit. I am a spiritual being. I'm going to put this spirit in Messiah. But I also impart this same spirit, part of my spirit, to my prophets, to my kings that I put into rulership, to guide them. And if they choose to do their own thing, I lead them. He says, now in the last days, I'm going to pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. I'm going to open this thing up to all flesh. What I used to do for the prophets and the kings, I'm going to do for every man, woman, and child that will come to me, that will truly be repentant, that will turn away from their evil ways. I'm going to look at their heart. And it says a condition of the heart. I'm going to look at their heart. And if their heart is right before me, then I'm going to choose them. Verse 11 again. Searching what and what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, Spirit of Yeshua HaMashiach, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, the sufferings of Messiah, and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, is they happening during your time, but unto us that did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. What is man that thou art so mindful of him? And the Son of Man that thou should visit him? Satan asked that question. And, you know, in the Bible, the Most High says, I know what you know not, Satan. You want to know what man is? I know what he is. You don't know what he is. But this is my child. You're the servant. This is why when we look at slavery, if we look at the things that we were put through in slavery, we should understand this concept of the angels and us and the Most High compared to our slave masters and their children. When the slave master's child was young, we were made to take care of them. Our women were even made to breastfeed them, their children. And we were the servants. But when that child grew up, they were put in charge. And if you were still alive as a slave, you became their property. This is why he says, you shall judge angels. They are the servants. What is man that you are so mindful of him? My child. And my child, I want my child to love me because my child wants to love me. And I want to put my spirit in my children. My spirit has to be in my children to show that I'm their father. Just like when a man gets a woman pregnant, he's not really sure. I don't know if it's only you. I don't know if it's only me you've been with. But I want to know that I'm the father. Let me go get a blood test. Let's do a paternity test. Oh, yeah, that's my blood. That's my child. The father says the same thing. I want to know that my spirit, because I begat you by my spirit, you must be born of the spirit. This is my child, filled with my spirit, begotten of me. This is who this is, Satan. This is why all this is happening. They wanted to know. Now, we know. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up your mind. God, guard your mind. Be sober. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you. at the revealing or the revelation of Yeshua HaMashiach, who he is. A lot of people still don't understand who Messiah really is. Messiah is the Most High in flesh. That is who and what he is. The Most High doesn't technically have a son. Not that it existed with him in the heavens. He says, I prepared a body. And the Most High talks about this thing in the third person. As though he's talking to another being, but he's really talking to himself in the flesh. So another different lesson. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust, in your ignorance. See, when we know the scriptures and when we know the truth, we come out of ignorance. That's why he says, you know, when you're ignorant, you are in sin. He says, but I don't want to charge you in that sin. But when you learn, you're to come out of it. You're no longer ignorant. You're no longer unknowing. And that's what ignorant means. Ignorant doesn't mean stupidity. It means unknowledgeable about something. So now that you know, you have no other choice but to do. Because anything else, then, is willful disobedience. Or it's unbelief. And the Most High will still send you to the lake for unbelief. Because you heard the truth and you refuse to believe it. Oh no. Mm-mm, I can't get with that. That sounds too harsh. I've heard people say, if the Elohim of the Bible, the God of the Bible will do that, I can't worship him. He's not my God. Okay. He's not your God. That don't change who he is. Because you choose to not believe. I know the Elohim of the Bible would never do that. God of the Bible would never be unmerciful like that. He would never just kill everybody like that. Oh, no, the God of the Bible would never throw all unbelievers into the lake of fire and let them burn forever. I won't worship a God like that. Okay? It don't make it not true. You just refuse to accept it. You're an unbeliever. For whatever the reason, as I said, the church has painted this picture of the Most High that is untrue. And if you tell them the truth about the Most High, they don't want to believe it. Oh, no, that's not the God of the Bible. What Bible are you talking about? Do you believe what's written? Oh, no, that means something else. Really? So that's how you have to justify it to stay where you're at. No, that means something else. Okay. So let's read verse 14 again. We're to serve him as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. You were doing those things before, supposedly because you were ignorant of it. Now that you know, then you shouldn't be doing them anymore. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. As in everything in your life, be holy. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons, judge according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning in what? Fear. That you come up short that you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You ain't supposed to be comfortable, but you should be worried about, you know what, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Did I make the right decision? Am I living a godly life? Am I living a holy life? Am I being sanctified? Am I running after the world too much? Are my standards based upon the standards of the world and not the standards of the Most High? For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, you weren't bought with silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Mashiach, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You were redeemed by the life of Mashiach. The blood, the life is in the blood. The life of a thing is in the blood. So when we are redeemed by his blood, we were redeemed by his life, who verily was foreordained, foretold before the foundations of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in Elohim, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in Elohim. Did it say in Christ? Your faith and hope is supposed to be in Elohim. The whole purpose of Messiah was to, number one, pay for our price, pay the price for our sins, that we can come out of it, but also to reveal Elohim to us, his nature, who he is, his name. That was his job. That we might have faith and hope in Elohim. Seeing you have purified your souls in the obeying of the truth. How do you purify your soul? Obey the truth through the Spirit. Unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Fervently is like feverishly, hotly. Really care for one another. Don't want to see your brother or your sister condemned to the lake. Don't want to see them going to have to go through the wrath of the Most High. Don't want to see them in this life without. Understanding that, you know what? This life is teaching me that I need more than I really need. It's telling me that I need more than I really need. And I got people out here around me that are going without while I have an abundance and I don't share. I don't really look out for my fellow man, my fellow woman. As long as I can do what I want to do and I'm happy and I'm, you know, seeking things that please me, it's all good. I'm not hurting nobody. But we're commanded to do so much more. Being born again. Because, you know, we got people out here teaching that you're not born again until the resurrection. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of Elohim, which liveth and abideth forever. Got to make sure that you're born again now. That you are begat by the Spirit of the Most High. So that you can live that holy, sanctified life that he's really calling us to. That he said, hey, be ye holy for I am holy. You can live this clean life. I'm telling you what to do to be clean before me. I'm telling you what you have to do that you can, in these last times, these perilous times, when people are just about everything. And they'll be in the church not teaching the truth. They'll be in the camp not teaching the truth. They'll be on TV not teaching the truth. They'll be teaching what satisfies them, what makes them feel good. But if you can live in sin, if you can rightfully sin and be comfortable up under the teachings of your pastor, something is wrong. Something's wrong there. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible by the word, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. It's got a season. The grass withereth and the flower thereof fades away. So we come up, we live for a season, then we die. This is what, you know, the Most High is equating our life to. We come up, we flower, we have our high points in our life, what we achieve, the flower drops off, and we wither and die. But the word of Elohim endures forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. So we have to count on the word of the Most High. We have to walk in it. We have to take it on. We have to live it. We have to believe it. And we can't walk according to our own understanding. That's why I read the scriptures, and when I read them very literally. And where it's not literal, the Ruach HaKodesh will give understanding. Oh no, you need to go look at this because this also applies here. Or in this other scenario, this other spirit, you know, because you can read the scriptures from different spirits. You can have the spirit of love you're reading it from, the spirit of mercy, the spirit of grace, the spirit of long-suffering, the spirit of joy. And you can read the scriptures and get a different interpretation or a deeper interpretation, deeper meaning, or now when we say it that way, a subsequent meaning of the scriptures that are also true. So we have to believe, we have to get it straight from the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, especially in these perilous times that we're in. As men will say and do anything. They will say and do anything, and they will feel like they are justified. Won't be in any type of agreement with the Most High, except for in their own mind, in their own heart. But then you really question them, what is your belief about? What is your understanding of? And you understand that they have little or no belief or understanding. And they're just going headlong into something with no understanding. But I'm a saint. The Most High says, no, you're not. You just think you are. But you got to be in covenant relationship with me. You got to be fulfilling your part of the bargain. Truth of the matter is, most of them are not even being taught what they are entering into. And if you sign a contract and you don't know what's in the contract, trust me, you're going to violate something in the contract. You're going to say, oh, well, I didn't know. The Most High will say, okay, I understand. That's cool. You didn't know. Now that you know, what you going to do? Well, I guess I got to start keeping that part of the contract. And I guess I really better go back and read the whole contract so I don't find myself in transgression of the contract. I need to go back and make sure that I understand every word in here. Because in this contract, if I break it, it costs me my eternity. It costs me my life. I wonder if that's really important to people. You break this contract, you forfeit your eternity in paradise. You're still going to have an eternity, but it ain't going to be in paradise. Going to be in the lake. Let's bow our heads. Father Yah, we come before you this morning. We thank you, Father. We thank you for protecting us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for giving us clarity that we should be able to see your word and that we might be doers of it. Father, there are so many things going on in the world today. And it's so hard to discern what is right and what is wrong, what is truth and what is false, what is outright lie and what is just deception, the truth mixed with the lie. Father, you said, but you will guide us into all truth. All we have to do is depend upon you. Read your word. Believe it and seek you out. And that you would guide us into all truth. Father, we need your guidance. We need your presence in our life. We need you to father us, lead us, and to guide us. We need you to provide for us. We need you to help us to live holy and clean lives before you, that we might be pleasing to you. Father, help us. Help us, help us, help us. Turn not your back upon us. If any are falling short, Father, help them to turn around. Help them up. Let them see the truth of your ways, the truth of your word, and repent and walk before you in perfect understanding that you must be obeyed. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. All right, on this evening, we will have service. I don't know the topic yet. I will put it out. I think I need to get back into the format that I had before, where I had, you know, when we started into the covenant, the old covenant, then it became all consuming. We are in the new covenant, and again, it's going to become all consuming. So I want to make sure that we have understanding what we have signed on to and what the changes are. And so we're not stuck with everything in the law of the Torah, but we also understand the amendments that were added and the deletions that were taken away from in the new contract, the new covenant, sealed in the blood of Mashiach. And so if anyone has a particular subject that they are unclear on, they want it, you know, taught, discussed, then I'm open to that. I'm also open to going through, starting in, you know, Matthew chapter 1 and just going through chapter by chapter until we end up in Revelation. Or I'm open to doing it by topic, either or. And it may be, you know, a mixture of those things. But I don't know actually know what I'm going to teach on this afternoon yet. But I will surely give you enough time. I will send it out again in text. I'm sort of ad-libbing at the moment, as the Most High has given me, is giving me to do that I'm doing. And I don't have a structured sermon plan that I'm going by at the moment. So as the Most High leads me. So that being said, I will put out this afternoon sometime what the topic will be. For all my listeners in the other nations, I encourage you to share this ministry with the people in your country. And, you know, we are having new countries, it seems like, join every month. And I know that they're not listening by calling in. They're listening online, through the broadcast, through the online. And pray all praises to the Most High. But I also want to hear from you. And so I will go to the website and make sure that contact information is there. I want to partner with you and your country to spread this gospel, the gospel of the kingdom. As I said, I am encouraged. I'm humbled. And I'm emboldened to continue and go forth and do what the Most High has, you know, given us to do, to be faithful in this word and to be faithful in this walk. With that being said, may the Most High bless you. May He keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. And I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. Follow the Most High. Don't follow me. Shalom, family.
Without you.